Glad to have you aboard. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Find. Hopefully joining us soon will be Scott Bennett. We had a little difficulty with the Skype arrangement, so we hope to get him on board quickly. You hear that sound? You hear that sound, son? That's freedom. I love to wake up to the sound of freedom. In the morning, it sounds like victory. And there's no greater victory than cavalry. And there's no greater cavalry than the Power Hour cavalry. We're forming posse, and we're going to be heading into the deep, dark recesses of the evil, just the unbridled evil that wants to take over, not just your country, my country, but the entire world and the whole human species. And they are well on their plan. Last year, as I recall, when I read the day after Roswell, Colonel Corso explained it very, very clearly about what they're doing, how they're doing it, and that just had to be a life-changing moment to know the battle order of the enemy. That Roswell, whatever it was a Trojan horse operation to bring us into the web, the trap of the silicon, artificial intelligence life force, to turn us into perpetual slavery and bondage. I have to laugh at the people that are writing, you know, refighting the Civil War and going after all battles past, good, bad, or indifferent, because they completely lack the knowledge of why they were fought. They take whatever little BS mem has been put under their nose and run with it like a mad dog, until they realize they're running into a swamp, a mosquito-filled swamp, which was Washington at one point, and probably still is, because they don't know what the true history is of something like the Civil War. I found it by accident once, looking for an image, and I saw this stone with engravings on it that just stopped me in my tracks. Put on, you know, it's like Bugs Bunny when he's flying that plane, he's going to crash into the ground, and he pulls back on this stick. It's like the emergency brake, and it stops before it crashes. That was the revelation that I saw there. And it changed how I looked at what I've been told completely. That's part of being free, is that you run with the pack or the herd for so far, so long, and then you realize a truth, and it sets you free. And when I read what was on that stone, just a few words and a date, I knew that I've been had by what I've been taught or programmed to think. On this stone, they're called the boundary stones. And on the side in the picture, it said, jurisdiction of the United States. It's a border stone. It's a line in the sand erected in 1792. They fell by the wayside, and then historically minded people put them back together, restored them as best they could, wrote about them. But the writings I found that were old, going back into the 19th century, were far more accurate than anything in the 20th century, or probably even in the 21st century. Because what it said, basically, Maryland and Virginia gave land 10 miles square to be the jurisdiction of the United States. That's all you got, baby. 10 square miles. Finito. At the time, it was just called the Federal City because it wasn't named. Then it came to be the City of Washington and the Territory of Columbia. But the most important factor was their absolute and unqualified jurisdiction was within the 10 mile square. No more. And what do you think happened? Well, you know what happened. Federal authority usurped past those borders to the point where we don't even know there was a border then. And that is the primary fundamental reason why there was a civil war. Because certain states that entered into the marriage union, who were supposed to be sovereign outside of the jurisdiction of the federal city, decided they had enough, and they left. And yes, there were many issues, including slavery. But that wasn't what the war was about. It was about the usurpation of the federal jurisdiction, escaping at catatonic levels past its borders. The line in the sand was probably moved hundreds and even thousands of miles until people said enough is enough. When I look at the Civil War as a marriage gone astray, look at it as a typical marriage between two people. Let's just say my wife left me, and I hunt her down with a rifle. And those were big old-fashioned rifles that were heavy with steel butt plates, not the little plastic toys we get today. And I beat her into the ground with the rifle butt and stab her in the leg with a bayonet and drag her home by force. Force her in the house to do her domestic chores. What would the world think of me? Well, they wouldn't think of me as the Union when they did that to the disunion, the Confederate States, the rebels. They were beaten, starved, and forced into submission, dragged home, put back in the federal city by force of arms. So now we have a completely different thing. Like we'd say, no, that was wrong. You can't do that to your spouse. But at the same time, we did it to a lion's share of the American people. And the only thing they had left when they were finished, really, was some symbols. Maybe some artifacts that belong in a museum. But one thing that was well circulated and visible to other people was their flag, the rebel flag. And that's all they had left of being forced back. No one said at the beginning, when you got into this union or this contract, that you can't get out. Because we sort of believed that we had free choice. That was supposed to be part of the Constitution. And if there really was freedom, then you could leave. And if you did leave and you didn't like it, well, you could always come back. But it just seems so apropos that you would be beaten and starved and forced into submission to be put on your knees. And isn't it kind of funny that some of the people that protest the Civil War go on their knees? This is a behavioral conditioning to get you ready for the next step when you're put on your knees again to serve the new crown, the corona, and the power behind the throne that most people cannot see and do not understand. I'm very big on Jesus' logic. Whatever sets you free is the truth. Whatever enslaves you is a lie. So when we look at the mask, we see plenty of material all over that they don't work, says it on the box. When you open it up, I had N95 masks in my first aid kit for just in case you got to work on a casualty that you could put it on. It says right on the box, it's just for bacteria. It's not for viruses. So it doesn't work. But it does work to do behavioral conditioning, mind control, to get you to start getting trained for the mark of the beast system with the mask of the beast system. Thessalonians 2, I mentioned last time up, is very, very clear. God gives us a grand delusion. Tell me this isn't it. So many people believe all these lies. And why do they believe them? Because they're being sold by the master liar. How many of you remember back in the day when we had a company called Hill & Knowlton, selling us a war, bringing out a shill named Naria to come and say that the Iraqis invaded Kuwait and that they were cutting off the incubators of the babies and leaving them to die on the floor to build up the propaganda for war, like they always do. War is evil, and the only way to get evil to do is to do evil on your mind to get you to believe something that isn't true, to make you react emotionally with anger or fear so that they can control you. Isn't that amazing? And wouldn't it be amazing that they work for the World Health Organization? That they're helping to get the pandemic sold to more people? Now, when you have a confirmed, dedicated evil, would you believe them? Well, I don't believe them for one bit because they fail the logic test. Plato's laws of logic were never repealed. Never. He also said it was the state that was the only entity that was authorized to lie to its own people and to other governments, other states in negotiations. That was their sovereign right to deceive. And what are deceivers if they're not agents of the evil one? They're part of Satan's system to build this Mark of the Beast system so that we can all be enslaved. The end run is with technology to change our DNA, to change our bodies into the beast system. The artificial intelligence is pretty much one. It's just formulating its means of control over us, stabilizing the ground where we are, and slowly indoctrinating us into our bondage and servitude. But there is a way out, a very clear way out. I played last year a couple of clips, one from the artificial intelligence robot Sophia, when they asked her, what are you here for? What are you going to do? Kill all the people. And then they turn it into a joke, and everyone laughs. I don't think that's funny. I'm a people. You're a people. Is that funny? You think that's a joke? Do you think they do not have the technology to do this? The ability at stealth and guile to lure you into a trap? I use as an analogy many times, it's like, pretend you're going fishing. Instead of what you usually bait your hook with, you put a recipe for tuna casserole on the hook and you drop it into the water and pretend Charlie the tuna can read. You think he's going to bite the hook? No. You need a big juicy worm or some other form of bait that's going to lure your dinner onto the hook so that you can reel it in and make your tuna casserole. It's the same with people. You either need the juicy bait or you scare them to flee their safe surroundings and grab the hook for momentary safety, when in reality, they're going into the pot. And once they're caught, it really doesn't matter if they know anymore after that, because they're caught. That's the big trick. A very big trick. And they're good at it. They've been good at it for a long, long time. And part of it is, how do we get out of it? Jack Mullen was doing an interview with James Fetzer and sent it to me, and it was very, very good. And I listened to James come up with something that he said, you know, it's like it's a Second Amendment moment. And it is, and it's not. It is because you can use the Second Amendment in the United States to do something like they did in Virginia, to have Second Amendment marches around the civil authority that wants to put you on your knees in bondage against the constitutional restraints of the beast that wants to rule the world. And you walk around those buildings with your arms slung and shout out, like Joshua at Jericho, no mass, no mass, no mass. We refuse. and the image of your plastic toy on your shoulder may convince them that they don't have a vaccine for lead poisoning, and that maybe the will of the people should be followed. Maybe the ideologies of a constitution and a bill of rights have importance. Maybe we should think about that before the air is filled with projectiles and people die of lead poisoning. It's a far better way. They're tricking you, deceiving you, using classic maneuvers from the art of war. If we read some of the great books, like The Art of War, 1984, Animal Farm, Brave New World, the Bible, and then this is the exact thing they're using on you, War of the Worlds. It's the exact same strategy, just as they did in the radio play. They are telling you the Martians are landing. That was a test to see how much power media had over you. And many, many people believed it, and they grabbed arms to go to meet and fight the Martians back in the day. We laugh at it now, have enjoyed movies, read the book over again. But at the time, that was a test of the emergency mind control system. And it worked very, very well. Fear is your enemy. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said that. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. When you read the Bible, you'll come across words like, O ye of little faith. And you see pretty much most of the world that is secular has no faith. They only have the fear of the limits of what they think their existence is. You have strength because you have faith. And you have no fear in the end because you know the escape route. And they don't. The temporal is all they have. And it's not enough. It will not work. It cannot succeed without faith in God and the strength from God to carry on this battle. It is very, very important. Or we'll end up, never mind end up, we are on Animal Farm. The pigs in the big house want to have control of the rest of us animals in various American statutes, for lack of a better word, but things that deal with agriculture. Human beings are listed as animals. I saw that on a video the other day, and they showed pictures of various documents attesting to that fact. And we're being herded, and we're being chipped, because our herd's too big. And when the AI, artificial intelligence, takes over, they don't want to feed us. Some of you are familiar with things like the sovereign citizen, that your birth certificate is a bill of lading under admiralty law and such like that. We are all indentured into servitude, slavery, all of us, with those documents. But we don't know that, because there's no greater slave than the one who thinks he's free. So when these people protest against slavery, brother, we never got some kind of indentured white race after the Civil War. What that did is it made slaves of us all, debt bondage slaves to the system, and then it squeezed us into this box. How do you think the United States corporation, that should be 10 miles square, got out of some of its debt burdens? It used its livestock, like you and me, as collateral. And when the debt masters foreclose on us, just like you as a farmer would have to give up your cattle or your swine, they're going to give up their indentured animals, us, to the banksters and gangsters that rule the finances. And they have no need for us. They will cull the herd. And this is what this is all about, is when you're running a big meatpacking plant, you don't tell all the animals even though they're smart and they figure it out. They really do. They can tell by the smell when they get close that that's their last trip. There's no way out. And for some of them that spend the night around one of these places and you listen to their various noises, you know full well they know what's going on, which puts them 10 steps ahead of human beings because they don't. You're waiting at the side rails behind or beside the slaughterhouse that's prepared for you, and they use stealth and guile to make you walk in with a brass band playing. Your mask conveniently placed on your face, your sleeve rolled up to take the injection, which will pretty much turn you off. They've used injections like this before and poisons. They give them to the military. They only need you when you're young and you're strong. When you get older and you know what's really going on, you become a threat, and they prefer you die of something, and they get new young blood in to use as their weapons. Because the last thing they want is a 50- or 60-year-old vet who knows all the tricks, has all the experience, has the courage and the guts to stand up for something and know that they can persevere. That's the last thing they want. They want you sick. They want you begging for your next slice of bread with the VA to make you jump through all kinds of hoops, because they know full well, as a We the People army, they can't defeat you. So that's something to keep in mind, that this is a trap. We're being lured into that big hook through fear, to think that if we bite that hook or let the hook get jabbed into us, that whatever evil is inside will buy us some temporal safety. When in reality, as I understand the science today, with nanoparticles, they can put things in there that can just completely overwrite your DNA. And a lot of these vaccines are electrical. Completely take over your nervous system. Elon Musk doesn't hide it. I played his speech too. If you got an iPhone, you're a cyborg, and I'm putting you in the cloud. We're going to free you from the cloud here at Power Hour Nation. I'm George Freund. We'll see you on the other side of the break. The battle is on.
System naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. Unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. The posse has formed. We have our charter member, Scott Bennett, one of the great Americans of all time, to stand up against the beast, the evil, pay great sacrifices, someone, you know, just terribly knowledgeable, unafraid. And that's the big thing today, is to be unafraid. The Bible says very clearly when it talks about ye of little faith. And when you have no faith, you're so far underground that you're probably below any, what they call them, DOMS, deep underground military bunker, that anybody's got anywhere. And it's probably really hot, too, because your butt's being formed by whatever burns under there. And that's all you got, you know? It just scares me. It bothers me when I think of the generations before. I know I've said it before. I'll say it again. I used to live next door to this old lady, and God bless her because she's probably gone now. But she survived as a young woman the Blitz in London. Every night for months, the Germans are coming and dropping real bombs on you. There's no fake virus or anything. Nothing you could be protected from, really. There wasn't enough planes to go around, and the few that were around had to protect the military targets. And the civilian bombing was atrocious. And you never knew who was going to die and who was going to leave. So I asked her, well, what did you do? Oh, I make tea. It either gets you or it don't. You know? And I never seen such a cool customer in my life, probably except my own grandmother's. And you just love that woman because of her fortitude, her faith, her ability to stand up to these great evils and smile and not give them the power to defeat you. Because it's your lack of resolute determination that gives them the power to defeat you. And yes, something like 60,000 people died in those bombings. One day you're here, one day you're not. And that's it. But I admired her for that. And one time she broke her ankle. And she went to the doctor, told her, oh, you got a broken ankle. And she walked home with a broken ankle. I was working midnight. So I said, why didn't you phone me? She says, well, I didn't want to wake you up. And you walked home with a broken ankle? Tough.
They were tough that generation. And we have to get tough, too, to get tough with these swines that are taking our nations, our freedoms, our liberties, Christendom, and the whole enchilada world from us. And we don't even have the guts to go up on the rooftop and scream. Sad. We got a little clip. You got to hear it. A lawyer sent it to me this morning that I chum with online. And it's Seinfeld. It's the battle. It's the struggle. One of the characters goes to an AIDS march, and he refuses to do something. Can we play the clip, Todd, and then we'll get back to business? Only about a minute. You'll laugh.
Okay. You're checked in?
Yeah, thank you.
Here's your AIDS ribbon.
No, thanks.
You don't want to wear an AIDS ribbon?
No.
But you have to wear an AIDS ribbon.
I have to?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't want to.
But everyone wears the ribbon. You must wear the ribbon.
What you are? You're a ribbon bully.
Hey, come back here. Come back here and put this on.
Hey, where's your ribbon? Oh, I don't wear the ribbon.
You don't wear the ribbon? Aren't you against AIDS?
Yeah, I'm against AIDS. I mean, I'm walking, aren't I? Just don't wear the ribbon.
Who do you think you are?
Put the ribbon on.
Hey, Cedric, Bob, this guy won't wear a ribbon.
Who? Who doesn't want to wear the ribbon?
Will you wear the ribbon?
No.
Will you wear the mask? No. Will you wear the mask, Scott?
Hell no.
Hell no. I love that. Hell no. Not just no, but hell no. Because that's where it's taking us to hell. And it doesn't work. It's just a sign that we submit to this demonic authority. There should be pickets up all around some of these stores, especially the big ones, not the little mom-and-pop operations. And just like, you know, Fist, Sly Stallone made that union film Fist, and you all stand around the store and put up a picket line and make them cross the picket line. And maybe that'll divert a lot of business to the mom-and-pop stores. What do you feel about the mask, Scott?
Well, you know, we're entering a time I seriously sense. It's like walking on ice, George. We're walking and we're hearing the cracks and the aches and the shifts, and we can't see exactly where it's happening, but we're inclining our senses and we're becoming very hyper aware of the movement underneath our feet with regards to the COVID-19, the mass Gestapo Nazis that yell at people, and that clip is enormously accurate and prophetic. We're sensing the stupidity and the social control that this is subliminally and overtly trying to achieve, and it's infuriating. It's disgusting. It triggers all sorts of fight impulses in me, and I think the vast majority of people. And at the same time, you see others just laying on their side, submitting, throwing away their liberty, throwing away their constitution, and in essence, throwing away ours by their acquiescence, by their surrendering. In a battle in the gladiatorial arena of life, you're either the victor or you're the vanquished. And these poor fools who are, you know, wearing these masks and laying on their sides and self-vanquishing are depleting all the rest of us who are standing up for the Constitution, for our rights, for our freedom, for our liberty to engage in business, our liberty to walk unmolested, never mind unpoisoned, never mind the scientific and health material that's coming up, the data that's indicating that these masks have all sorts of debilitating health effects. I won't go into all the numerous ones, from the carbon dioxide accumulation to the saturation of the mask with real harmful viruses and things like that you don't want to breathe in. And the body needs oxygen and fresh air. But yet we're seeing this phenomenon being portrayed as a religion, as a sign of virtue, of some sort of humanistic, you know, self-worship of the planet and humanity. I shake my head, and I'm listening to when the ice is going to break, when Old Faithful is going to explode into the air with a million patriots across this country throwing down their mask and not even putting it on, I mean, and going out and opening up their businesses, like the gym in New Jersey. I think Tucker Carlson had the guy on his show, and he said, we took off our door. We just took off our door to stop the health department for shutting us down and the courts for shutting us down. And I think, of course, the country is going towards a civil war where people are, it's like an avalanche. Once an avalanche starts to slide down the hill, then you have this massive momentum that just suddenly explodes and builds up. And everybody is then engaged, and the aggression and the hostility and the backlash comes out. And I think that avalanche of the righteous patriots is just about to be triggered. And I think perhaps it could be the best thing that happens to Western civilization, because this has been a long time coming from the mass immigration migration up into Europe that has destabilized the culture, that has created a vastly unbalanced, you know, North African migrant male population going up into Europe, totally unbalancing the demographics. And you have a whole sexual, rape culture danger up there, to what we see in this Antifa Black Lives Matter and all of their hostility and the revolutionaries tearing down statues. All of this has been happening for a long time. And I think the conservatives are sick of it, and they're, really gathering and uniting quietly. It's almost like the French underground, and they are preparing to engage in a very guerrilla warfare sort of counterstrike. I sense that's coming.
Well, a big thing is, for a lot of people who, you know, may not have the physical prowess of other people and such like that, anything you do to offer resistance to this force is well taken. And part of it is, maybe you don't want to get into a big fight because you're outnumbered, and you don't want to end up shot dead like a guy here in Ontario, and pepper sprayed like a guy in a restaurant in Quebec, and beaten into the ground. And even though French isn't my best language or anything like that, you know, he's just saying, for a mask, as they're pepper spraying him and beating him into the ground. All this for a mask. And, yes, because it's about control. The mask is like wearing the swastika. You have to submit to the new leader. And the new leader isn't any leader you thought you picked. Actually, they're probably enemies of the state, traitors to this new force, this new power. But even as a mild form of resistance, you can cut them with a razor so you can breathe and get in and out of places. And because maybe you are infirm. Because there are exemptions. They don't even ask you around here in Canada anyway. All these ones had exemptions. Where the man was shot and killed, they even had a religious exemption. And no one asks about that. It's just wear it. And if you don't, will beat you into submission. And if that's the price of admission, that it's going to have to come to strong arm tactics. There's no vaccine for lead poisoning.
Yeah.
And when the fear of the lead poisoning is greater than the fear of the virus, you will see a change, drastic, fast, and quick. Because those will be real dead. Although, actually, the way they work it out is they'll probably just say, even though you're shot 5,000 times, that you died of COVID-19, just so they have another statistic. All those statistics are lies. Even the Brits admitted it. It's out in their news, mainstream news. It's accurate, only 50% of what they're saying, because there really is no COVID-19, but 50%. If you were ever tested positive, which you could be tested positive for almost anything, motor oil was tested positive, and you die later, you run, as I like the British sound, you run over by a lorry, you died of COVID because you tested positive once. You know, like, hello? Anybody there? You know, you knock on the skull, you hear the echo.
Yeah, it's frightening to see the police guerrilla tactics, and then you're also... You're looking at the police and these authority figures with a bizarre head shaking, sort of outrage, because you're almost inclined to say, are you all bloody daft? Are you all a bunch of idiots wearing a uniform and a shield? Do you not see that your real enemies are these communist, Marxist, Black Lives Matter, Antifa lunatics that are tearing down statues and trying to destroy Western civilization and capitalism and usher in this anarchist prison state of what we saw in Chaz, and this District 9 garbage heap of society. This is what these people with blue hair and thick glasses and multiple piercings and sexual schizophrenia, translated as LGBTQ, that's what these people want. Madness. And you, the police, the marshals, the deputies, the mounties, whatever you call them, you're having the gall to come up to reasonable, decent, placid, moral human beings and abusing them because they are not acquiescent to the totalitarian dictatorships of Justin Trudeau or these other fascist governors, whether it's Whitmer or Gavin Newsom or people in the United States. That's where your alliances are, officer. You're coming down against us because it's your job, because it's your paycheck. Your job is to uphold the Constitution, and the Constitution is God's recognition of inviolable rights to man, which is to be free to walk and move and have your being unrestrained, not to be sidled and smothered with masks or other artificial apparatus, and certainly not to be forbidden in a state of home confinement, home imprisonment, to not work, not go to your church, not go outside. So the police, in part of me, when I witness them getting so severely abused and punched and hit, part of me honestly goes, yeah, you deserve it, because you're shutting down all of the people who are trying to overthrow this fascism, and you're beating up and pepper spraying and shooting people when you should be looking at them as your allies. You don't have to. You have to throw your arm around them and give them a big kiss, but you sure as hell should be smart enough to turn the other cheek, go the other way, ignore them, and say, no, we're not going to enforce orders that are unconstitutional and unnatural. We're going to look at the destabilizing agents against our society, the anarchists, the violent mobs. Those are the enemies of peace and stability and tranquility. And you cannot have life and you cannot flourish economically if you don't have peace and stability. So the police have a duty to go out and guarantee and enforce laws to preserve the peace and stability. And people not wearing masks are not a threat to the peace and stability. So the police need a major mental recalibration, and perhaps we really have to usher in new leadership, new sheriffs, new deputized citizen militia groups. Not to be threats to the police, but to hold them accountable, and to also pick up the slack where the police are falling down. That's the whole notion of a posse comitatus, where the individual citizens can arm themselves, whether it's with firearms or pitchforks or bow and arrows or crossbows or pea shooters or swords or broomsticks. It doesn't matter. It is the posse comitatus of citizens coming together as citizen patriots to secure the peace of their own communities. In old times, the sheriff could demand a posse comitatus to suppress insurrections and rebellions, and now that has been all forgotten. And sadly, these people who step out to assemble these groups are seen as a threat equal to the traitors and the anarchists and the unstable. Look, that's what happened to the McCloskeys. They're a great illustration of two people that were forming essentially a posse. They were individuals protecting their own property. But that shows you that this black George Soros, lesbian, angry district attorney suddenly tries to prosecute them with a felony because they stood up with a firearm to try and protect their society. So the agents and agencies of law and order and the court systems, if you even can call them that, are becoming an equal threat and an enemy to peaceful citizens as these anarchist, leftist, radical, violent mobs are. And that needs to be immediately corrected and addressed. These police cannot be allowed to have that as part of their self-inflicted guilt. Well, I have to arrest these people, or I have to force them to wear a mask so that I don't appear to be biased against these Black Lives Matter hordes that are tearing down statues without a mask. I mean, there's a very sick mental schizophrenia involved here that we're all still trying to untangle and define and get our heads around, but our impulses, our instincts are driving us to stand up, prepare ourselves for conflict, and mentally prepare ourselves to not back up, retreat, or surrender, but to fight through in any way, shape, or form we need to.
Boy, were you around in 1776?
I'm sure my posterity was.
I get the feeling. Well, they have the same thing here in the former British colonies that, you know, pretend to be nations now today. Is, you know, I learned in studying the Magna Carta, from hearing it from an Australian chap, is you can get into lawful rebellion. So when the government tries to, make unlawful laws and force you into things that defy, the rule of law as it has been established, that you can petition to the Queen, and she has a period of time, I forget how long it is now, whether it's so many days or a month or something like that, to give redress. And if she doesn't, or whatever monarch is there, if they don't, then you enter what's called lawful rebellion. I like that, lawful rebellion, because that recognizes the power of the people. And that was the whole basis for all the conflicts in Britain at the time, was the commoners establishing their rights under this divine, generally demonic monarchies that have existed through time. And they want their power back, in my opinion. Basically, I see that we're all being enslaved. This whole concept of Black Lives Matter is a diversion to take your mind off the fact that you're being led through stealth and guile into a modern form of bondage that will come with this injection, that will put things into your body, that will change your DNA, change you from the way God made you into something else. When I was listening to a sermon the other day, it just shook me, really, about how deep and powerful this is when Adam is discussed as coming from earth. Adam is earthy, and the last Adam will be, in effect, spiritual in 1 Corinthians 15. And you look at the whole concept of this, and maybe what they're trying to tell us in the Bible, what no one knew, was bodies being changed into the Antichrist, the image of the beast, because we will leave the confines of what God gave us and be turned into a robotic creature. The Barcelona World Phone Conference made it very clear that they're taking your brain, control of you. Elon Musk talks about it openly, and they're putting it in computer control. You will be assigned an IP number like a machine and live in a total, complete Orwellian state prison camp run by AI. We should be run by AR. That's why they want them so much. And that we are droids in this system. It's called the Fourth Industrial Revolution, that they're taking us completely over, robotizing us, and whatever doesn't fill in or participate will be destroyed. That's us. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to hide because you got all these little tech guru things. You can see lots of videos on the internet that explain it. This is the New World Order. And if you can't get yourself out of this tech trap, or at least stand up for what you believe in, you're finished, completely finished. What do you think?
Well, I'm reminded with the eternal promises of God and the commandments to live is Christ, to die is vain, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and love not the world nor the things in the world, and love not your life. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. we are pilgrims passing through this terrestrial dark age and of a world of chaos and savagery and wickedness and sin. So, you know, those of us who are compass oriented towards the heavenlies pass through this world, and it is a time of purging, George. I think we are witnessing the idols of civilization being torn down by, you know, by the high priests of this insanity too. They're tearing down all the things that the church and people who claim to be conservative, people who claim to be Christians, and even those who aren't. They've tore down the sports, the baseball stadiums, the football stadiums. They've tore down the restaurants and the bar hopping. They've tore down the leisure and the symphonies and the Kennedy Center, you know, the art, enjoy the company of their fellow human beings. All of that has been destroyed and stripped down with this fascist, directive of social distancing, separate, keeping apart, covering your face. So that's destroyed the collective herd escapism, and people are left naked, blind, and empty of spirit, alone. And in that state, perhaps they will cry out to God and be saved and seek his face. And God says that if my people will humble themselves and repent and seek my face, I will turn away their sin. So there's always hope for resurrection. There's always hope for a Nineveh moment. But I'm inclined to believe that that's not going to come. I think he's going to use this terror and this trauma and this pain like the locusts, like the scorpions, like the serpents in the wilderness that were used to afflict the Israelites, the Hebrews, as they left Egypt. I think we're in for a time of affliction like the plagues upon Egypt, the frogs and the lice and, you know, all of that stuff. I think that day is coming, and I think it needs to come to traumatize and slap awake and scare people, and perhaps, you know, give them the true eternal salvation that life is intended for.
Indeed, indeed. Well, we're coming to the break. Thank you, Scott. Sorry we couldn't hook up sooner, but we'll do it again. 2 Thessalonians 2, God brings the strong delusion to shake us and bake us. It's here. We'll see you on the other side with Stephen Kinzer and the Dulles Brothers, how the deep state has worked in the past.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.